Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. I just feel there's joy in the room right now. There's just a sweetness of his presence. His spirit is moving right now. But he's also given us a word. If you're not experiencing that, if you're not experiencing joy, if you're not experiencing that peace, that sweetness right now, if you're in a season where it just seems like everything is wrong, everything is bad, and you feel that negativity welling up inside of you, that's not what he has for you. And it begins just with a decision to do all things without complaining and disputing. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 29, verse 24. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. If you're in a season of complaining, if you're in a season of discontentment, I just want to challenge you to lean into God's word. If you would just lean into that, if you would just lean into the truth of what he says, you're going to start to see the world differently. You're going to start to see your situation differently. You're going to start to see what you're going through in new light, with fresh eyes, with eyes in the spirit and ears in the spirit. You're going to begin to discern by his spirit, because his spirit flows through every page of this book. And when you begin to read and eat from the doctrine that he's given us from his word, and you let him teach you, and you just submit yourselves fully and wholly to him in every area of life, all of a sudden, all complaining is going to leave. All disputes, all arguments, you're going to begin to listen to his voice. The mind of Christ dwells in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. It says that in Acts. When they repented and were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It begins with repentance. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, if you've never made that choice to say, I repent and I turn to you, your ways are better than my ways, you can do that today. You can do that right where you're sitting. You can just say a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, I repent. I turn back to you. Forgive me of my sins. I've been going my own way, but I don't want to go my own way anymore. I want to listen to your voice. And his voice is like a whisper, it says in Isaiah. And when you don't know which way to go, what to do, it's like a whisper right behind you to go to the left or to the right, to follow his voice, to follow his instructions. And he's just coming in today in waves. That peace that you're feeling, that freedom, you felt tight coming in today, but you just feel free. You feel fire. You feel loose. You feel water flowing through you right now. That's him. Believe it. That's him. That's not just the music. That's not just, it's praise and worship paving the way. You can go to any concert and you can get goosebumps. But there's something different that happens when you come into the presence of the living God and you exalt him and you praise him and you lift your hands and say, you're worthy. The Holy Spirit just starts to come in like a wave. and freedom just starts breaking out within you. Just begin to declare that over your life. Jesus, set me free. Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I want to walk in your ways. Holy Spirit, come. Let's pray. While I'm leading us in prayer, if you just feel the need to just say something to him, just say something to him. Just tell him. He always forgives. Just turn back to him and say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for going my own way. I'm sorry for trying to do things the way I wanted to do them. I'm sorry for trusting my feelings and not just having faith. I'm sorry for complaining. I'm sorry for bitterness. I'm sorry for divisiveness. I'm sorry for sowing discord in your church, in your body. Jesus, I just want to walk in peace. I want to walk with the mind of your son, Jesus, who flows through me and flows through your word. Jesus, make me hungry for your word right now. Jesus, that's what I pray for our church, that we would just be hungry for your word. That we would just continue to learn doctrine. And as we learn from your word, that peace would just flow like a river through this body. That we would be one, that we would work as one, that we would walk in unity in every area of life. That complaining and divisiveness and discord would leave because it has no place among your holy people. Jesus, we just thank you. Jesus, thank you. It's just a place of peace. It's just like a stream. I just see it running from the back of the room all the way to the front. There's just a stream of his living water. It's his peace just flowing over us. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Give us the gift, the ability to discern lying spirits, deceiving spirits. As we begin to learn and read more from your word, we'll see. I just believe it. We'll see and know what's from you and what's from the world. May we walk in your ways and not our own. May we walk in your ways and not the world's ways. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 29, verse 24 again. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding. And those who complained will learn doctrine. If you're complaining, open up God's word. If you're bitter, if you're angry, if you're mad, if you're harboring offense in your heart towards people or towards God, just begin to open up his word. All complaining will leave. Everything will cease. If you want my notes, what I'm kind of going off of, you can text Rev Notes, all one word, to 94,000. I jokingly say I'm kind of going off that because sometimes in worship, I go and I'm just listening to his voice. And there's moments that he just says, actually, you thought you were going this way. This is what I've been saying all week, but you were too busy all week to listen to me. Here it is. There's moments like that that happen to me a lot. Where I've got this idea, or I've got this thing, and I'm thinking, this is it. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to talk about. This is the direction we need to go. And sometimes I get so excited, I start to move in a direction he hasn't told me to move in. In fact, if you go Isaiah 30, if you keep reading there, Isaiah 30, verse 1, right after chapter 29 ends, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. You can think like, oh man, I'm doing all the right things. I'm walking in wisdom. I'm even going and I'm seeking counsel in my life. You can think you're doing all the right things. But if it's not of him, if it's not of his spirit, you're walking in rebellion. I had to repent this week for something, a decision I made for the church that I thought, oh, this is a great thing for our church. But I started moving a little too quickly, and he just called me to this verse. And he just reminded me, don't move unless I tell you to move, son. I had to repent this week. I had to say, I'm sorry. And then I had to say, do you want me to undo what I've done? I was like, I don't want to do that. I think we'd be throwing away money. Like, I think we need to go forward with this. And he said, you just need to learn to listen and be obedient to my voice. Just because something looks good, just because something sounds good, just because something looks like the wise thing to do, did I tell you to do it? And so I had that conversation with him this week. Be careful. Who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, sin heaping upon sin. It starts with a small thing that looks like a good thing. And just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. If you're taking notes, write that down. Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. There's so many things that we just say, oh, I can do that. It's a good thing. God would want me to do this. It's a good thing. But is it a God thing? Did he tell you to do it? Because you can do a good thing, but if it's not something he told you or he commissioned you to do, you can walk in disobedience doing good things if it's not of him, if it's not of his spirit. And so I had that conversation with him this week. I said, this looks like a good thing. This looks like the wise thing to do. And he said, it is, but you moved without me. You moved ahead of me on this one. Some of you are like, what did he do? I'll just tell you, because we just believe in transparency here. We, as a church, there's all kinds of like paperwork and things you got to do. Well, one of the things we hadn't done yet, but we'd kind of been talking about doing, was going through and getting this 501(c) paperwork done. And it, on paper, it all looks good. It's like, oh, it's a good thing. It gives us tax exemption, things like that. But one of the things that we've always said as a church too is, like, the reason we give here, like when we tithe, it isn't to get a tax deduction. Like, that's not it. Like we give because he's worthy. And so whether we have the tax deduction or we don't, we still give because he's worthy. And so it was this paperwork thing, and there's just a lot of things tied to it that we thought, oh, this could be good, like this would be helpful for our church. And he came after me on this one and just reminded me, listen, don't move unless I tell you to move. And so I just sat with him for a while, and I just had a moment of repentance, and I just said, I'm sorry, Lord, and I said, Lord, if you want me to stop this, I'll stop it. I'll put an end to it right now. And, you know, eventually, you know, I really felt him finally just release that and say, you can go through with this, but don't cling to it. Don't hold on to it. You got to hold it with an open hand. Sometimes he gives you something or he lets you have something. But he wants you to hold on to it with an open hand, because if you begin to have a closed hand about something, it becomes an idol. If you begin to think, I can't live without this, we can't go forward without this, we can't do ministry without this, it becomes an idol. And so for me and him, as I was talking and listening to him, I told him, I was like, it's open-handed. If you want us to stop it, we'll stop it. If you want us to kill it, we'll kill it right now, because it's not worth it if we walk in disobedience to your voice. And he said, go through with it right now. But you need to hold it with an open hand. And you need to remind your people that someday, if the government comes in and tries to tell the church how they need to do church and how they need to operate to keep their tax exemption status, to keep that deduction going, you need to prepare your church for if or when that day might come, that we let that go. That we hold it with an open hand. We can use it right now. We can be shrewd right now. We can be wise right now. But we hold it with an open hand and we say, if the world tries to tell us how to do things in God's house that God hasn't told us, we're not going to do it and we're not going to play their games. And we drop that status. We drop everything about it and we walk away clean. So there you go. There's my repentance. There's my transparency for our house, our church. We want to walk in obedience to his voice. We want to come up with plans that are from him and not from the world, not of our own accord. Learn to listen to his voice. If you want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you've never heard him speak, I'm telling you, he is speaking. He wants to speak. Invite him into your life, and he'll begin to speak, and he'll begin to bring correction and discipline. Typically, when you first start to learn to listen to his voice, we are soul, spirit, body. We're three parts. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our feelings, we're going to want to go a different direction. Our flesh is going to want to go a different direction. His spirit joins with our spirit and is teaching us to walk in his ways, to walk in his counsel. And so typically, as you're learning how to listen and discern his voice, when you first invite him in, when you first get saved, when you first get baptized in the Holy Spirit, typically some of the things that he's going to tell you, you're going to know it's him because it's things that in your mind, you're going to be like, I don't want to do that. That sounds awful. Or in your flesh, you're going to be like, I don't want to give that up. I can't give that up. I can't walk away from that. I need that. And he's saying, no, I want to set you free from that. There's freedom in the Spirit. He loves you. He wants to set you free from everything that's been holding you back, that's been holding you down, that's been chaining you up. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He sets his people free. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Go down a little bit there in Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, that's his voice. Learn to listen to his voice, discern it, walk in his ways. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. We begin to say that to the idols that we've been holding on to. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. I just get this picture. We've been talking about tearing down strongholds. That's what the Holy Spirit does. A stronghold is a tower. And some of us, we just got these strongholds within us, these towers that we think we can never get past this. I can never give this up. I can never get freedom from this. The Holy Spirit, as the rivers run through you, as you learn to listen to his voice, to go right when he says right, to go left when he says go left, there's just more and more freedom and deliverance that he wants to walk you into. And the towers are going to come down. And some of you, you've already experienced that. You've experienced that moment where he begins to help you take those thoughts captive and to realize they're not your own, to realize that demons are trying to always get a foothold within our lives. And if they get a foothold, what do they want to do? They want to build a stronghold. It's like if you give a mouse a cookie, what's he want next? He wants some milk, right? All right. If you give a demon a foothold, what's he want next? He wants a stronghold because he wants to stay. And so some of us, we've got these strongholds built up within us. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, how do they work in unity? They work in unity to set us free. The Father sent the Son, and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit now works in unity with the Father and the Son to set his people free, to tear down the towers that have been built up within us. And some of you, you're like, man, I've experienced that, but now all of a sudden it feels like, man, it feels like the towers are starting to come back again. Or it feels like, oh, there's another tower, there's another battle. I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you with this imagery today. When you first begin to get set free in Christ, what's he go after? He goes after the biggest tower, the biggest stronghold. Whatever it is, whatever is most prevalent in your life, the Holy Spirit's going to walk you through it, and you're going to experience some freedom. And you're going to be like, all right, great, I'm free. This is awesome. And then all of a sudden, a year later, or 2 years later, or 5 years later, you're going to be back in this place where you're beginning to feel like this attack again. And you're going to be feeling like, man, it'd be better to just go back to slavery because I'm sick of fighting these battles and losing over and over. Don't go back to slavery. Don't go back to Egypt. No, keep walking through the wilderness because the promised land is coming. Stop complaining because the promised land is coming. Our complaining only delays the promise. That's what it does. That's where the Holy Spirit, he wants to teach us that today. Stop complaining because that's just delaying what I've got for you. I've got more for you. I've got more freedom. I've got greater measures of peace that I want to give you. It says in Isaiah, his peace, it continues to increase in our life. And so some of you are like, man, I experienced so much peace when I first gave my life to Jesus, but I don't feel that right now. Let me tell you, there's a new level of peace he wants to give you. But it might mean tearing down another stronghold. It might mean there's another battle that needs to take place. As they were getting ready to enter the promised land, God began to warn them. He began to tell his people. He said, I'm not going to give it to you all at once. Because if I gave you everything all at once, the land would remain desolate and it would be overrun by wild beasts. And some of you are like, I gave my life to Jesus. Shouldn't I just be completely free all at once? What does Jesus warn us? When the house gets cleaned out, the house is temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We are temples of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. When the house gets cleaned out, when a demon is forced to leave, it goes around, it wanders in dry places, and then it tries to come back. It tries to come back to its home. Demons are looking for places to live, bodies. They want to make a dwelling place within us. And so they come back to the house, and if they find it empty, desolate, what are they going to do? Jesus says this. He says, they're going to bring back seven more. You're going to be overrun with wild beasts. And so, yes, he wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit, his presence. But sometimes that means he just walks you through freedom one stronghold at a time. And there's battles to be fought. And that's what he did with the Israelite people. It's a picture of deliverance. It's a picture of freedom within us. He doesn't just give it to you all at once, because then you'd be overrun with wild beasts. No, he just begins to walk you through and you begin to fight these battles one by one. And you thought after the first one, after you tore that first stronghold down in the name of Jesus and you got freedom from whatever it was you were dealing with, you thought, this is it. This is great. I could put things on cruise control. And he's saying, no. Because off in the distance, there's another tower. And we're going to go tear that tower down next. And then you tear that tower down in the name of Jesus. And you walk in victory. And you're like, okay, that's it. And he's like, oh, wait, off in the distance. Look at that. I want you to deal with that. And you're like, oh, I didn't even realize these towers, I didn't even realize I still had unforgiveness in my heart, that I still had bitterness in my heart towards that person. Oh, I didn't even realize I never dealt with that from my childhood. I didn't even realize I needed freedom from that, what happened to me, that experience with that boss, with that coworker, with whoever it was. And he just keeps walking you through freedom by freedom, victory by victory, from glory to glory. That's what he's doing within us. Tearing down towers. And the river of the Holy Spirit just keeps running through. I just wanted to encourage you with that. Because some of you, you've been in here and you're like, oh, I should have it all together. I should be walking in complete and total victory right now, but I'm still struggling with this. I'm still dealing with this. I thought I was over this. I just want to encourage you. That's the devil. That's him trying to get you. You're never going to get better. You're never going to get free. And that's a lie. Who told you that? Because Jesus is constantly walking us into freedom. He's constantly walking us into victory from glory to glory. And so it might feel like when you've been in the room, it might feel like you're in a season where you're losing, where you're just giving in and you're struggling and you just can't get over whatever it is. You're just in between glories. Glory to glory. You're in that two area right there. We've talked about this. I've preached on this. The next glory is coming. The next victory is coming. The next win is coming. You just got to keep walking and you got to keep moving. Don't complain, because when you complain, you stop moving forward. When you complain and get bitter, you just start helping the devil build another tower. That's what you do. When you start complaining, you start building division within the house that he wants to bring peace and unity into. Don't give in to his strategies. We are not ignorant of the devil's schemes, his devices. We know how he works. We're learning how he works. And we're tearing down towers. Nevin always texts me after the sermon. He's like, what's the title of that message? Tearing Down Towers. There you go. There it is right there. That's good. That's Holy Spirit, all right? Just tearing down towers. All right. Numbers 11, verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. When you complain, sometimes we read these passages and we think, yeah, the Israelites, they were always displeasing the Lord. It's us, okay? It's so easy for us to just like be like, yeah, they're terrible, they're bad, yep, they're always. It's like, no. When we complain, because guess what? We've been adopted into God's tree, his family. We've been adopted in by the blood of Jesus. We've been grafted in to his tree, the Israelite people. When we complain, it displeases the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. God was literally bringing down a miracle in front of them, bread from heaven. And here they are complaining. What miracle is God bringing into your life and has been bringing into your life, and here you are complaining? You've been blessed with 4 kids, 5 kids. I don't know how many kids you got. I'm not targeting anybody. This is a word for myself. And sometimes you're just sitting there and you're like, oh man, this is so hard. This is so difficult. This is so tough. And God just saying, I gave you a miracle. That's what they are. They're jewels on your crown. No. The devil wants you to complain. God is saying, you should be praising me. What is it that you're complaining for in this season in your life that you just need to start praising him for? That he's given you and he's saying, this is a blessing. Or he's given you and saying, this is correction, this is discipline, because you walked your own way, you stepped outside of what I had for you. Come back into the house. Come back into obedience. Come back into alignment with my word. If you're complaining, you probably stepped out of alignment with him somewhere. And so if you're experiencing correction, ask the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just think, oh, we just excuse things away and we just say, oh, bad things are happening because we live in a fallen world. Things just happen. No. Sometimes what's happening is because we've stepped into disobedience. And we need to take a look in the mirror and just go to the Holy Spirit and say, where did I step out of bounds? Where did I get out of alignment with what you were saying? Where did I start to go left when you told me to go right? And guess what? Every time we repent, he takes us back in. And it's just clean. It's simple. But if we just refuse to repent, if we refuse to let go of our pride, to humble ourselves and yield to his ways, he can't help us. He can't force us. It's just like parenting. You can discipline your children, but at the end of the day, it's still their choice. That's freedom. That's love. Love is a choice. I got a young couple over here. I just did their wedding a couple weeks ago. Praise God. Like I love it because every time I do a sermon, when I preach at weddings, I always remind people of that. Love is a choice. Sometimes we think, oh, love is a feeling. It's an emotion. I'm just going to follow whatever I'm feeling. And I feel so good. I got butterflies about this person. There's going to be a day that you wake up and you're not going to feel butterflies. You're going to feel like, boy, I could punch that face right now. Don't punch that face, all right? Don't do that. That's the devil. Don't listen to him. No, no, no. And you remember that love is a choice. Because even Jesus, when he knew that the cross was set before him and he was in the garden, what was he praying to God? God, if there's another way. He didn't feel like going to the cross. He didn't have butterflies about going to the cross, but he obeyed the Father's will. Your way and not my way. That's what we do. That's what we do in love. If you're in here right now and you're in a marriage that is struggling, that's hard, that is difficult, I'm telling you, and you're just like, I don't feel like it's going to work. The devil speaks through feelings. The devil uses and abuses feelings and emotions all the time. No, no, no. You need to make the choice to love because you made a commitment. You made a covenant. Choices lead, and then guess what? Feelings follow. Because as you choose to do the hard things, as you choose to love on those difficult days when you don't feel like it, it's just like when you, I love this illustration. I don't know how many people feel like working out or exercising or eating good, but man, as you choose to go against your feelings and do what you know is good for you, what you know is right, and you choose to treat your body well, all of a sudden, you start to stack days and months and years, and all of a sudden you start to look in the mirror and you realize, wow, I feel really good about who I've become. You do, because you made a choice that went against your feelings. It's the same thing with your marriage, with your relationship, with whatever it is that you've been complaining about in this season and that you've been negative about. If you would just start to make the choice to say, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do God's thing. I'm going to be obedient to his voice, even though I don't feel like it. Even though I don't feel like walking through the rain to get to church. Even though I don't feel like praising him. I'm going to choose. And all of a sudden, when you choose, your feelings, you're going to begin to notice, they begin to follow. Don't let your feelings lead you. Choices lead, feelings follow. Numbers 11, verse 13. Here's Moses speaking. Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me. If you got kids, you like that. Like, oh, what are we going to eat for dinner tonight? What are we going to, can we have runza again? All right, here's another look into my life. No, we've already had that 5 times this week, all right? I'm just kidding, 4. It's just like, man, like if you got kids playing sports and you're like, how do you do dinner and sports and everything? It's like, you live off fast food some weeks, all right? There you go. I am not able to bear all these people alone. Yes, amen. Because the burden, I got 4 kids, and I'm like, I feel like what Moses is feeling. And Moses is overseeing over 1 million people. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. I'm done. Just kill me, Lord. If I have found, it's funny, him and Elijah, they both have these moments where they get to the place where they're just like, just take me. I want to be dead. So if you've been there, like I'm not talking like you've had a suicidal thought. Like I'm just saying like you've just had those days where you're like, God, it'd be better if I was dead. Like I don't want to go through this anymore. Just take me to heaven. Moses and Elijah have both been there. They have. I just want to encourage you. If you've been there, you're not alone. But keep going because God puts you here for a reason. He puts you here for a purpose. Steward the time and the gifts that he's given you to be here on this earth. Just know that he's put you here for a purpose. There's a reason. if I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my wretchedness. Verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. We weren't meant to do this alone. None of it. It's better together. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? Be careful what you complain about. You'll get so much, you'll get sick of it. You'll get so much, you won't be ready to handle it all. Sometimes we're praying for things and we're believing for things. And sometimes we have to learn. I talk about this a lot. I feel like the Lord is teaching us in this season. We have to steward what we've been given and what we've been trusted with, or it will become a burden to us. It will become something that we cannot handle, that we're not ready for, that we're not prepared for. And it will just, it'll come out of our nostrils. We'll be sick of it. You have to learn to steward what he gives you. Numbers 11, verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, and he spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. The same Holy Spirit that we have today. This is his spirit. All the way back in the Old Testament, we see this. When the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. Sorry, that just hit me. Spanish, Eldad. And then little kid, Medad. I don't know. Bad joke. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying. Sorry, that's still really funny. Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses says, it's okay to laugh. The Holy Spirit loves laughter. He loves joy, all of that. It's all right to have some fun every now and then. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets. This is what Moses spoke. He was prophesying right there. He was speaking of what was to come. That all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Acts 2, verse 17. In the last days, would you just put your hands out to receive? If you want the Holy Spirit to come upon you in this moment, I just feel him coming into the room right now. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you haven't been saved, if you haven't given your life to him, if you're here today and that's you, The worship team is about to come up. They're going to begin to play. If you want prayer to just receive Jesus as your Savior, our ministry team is going to be up here near the front. They'll pray with you. They'll pray for you to receive salvation, to receive the gift, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within you. That's why Jesus came. What did Jesus say? John 16, verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me. Who sent him? The Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. He will convict of sin. The devil wants to bring shame and condemnation. The Holy Spirit convicts. And so if you feel that today, if you feel that conviction in your heart, just say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to walk in your ways. I want to prophesy in your name. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Because that was God's intention from the very beginning when he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve to dwell among his people. But sin changed everything. Sin came and became a barrier between God and his people. And the people in the wilderness, they even said, Moses, it's better for you to just go and speak to the Lord. We don't want that. But what did Moses say? No. He said, I wish all of God's people would prophesy. I want the Holy Spirit to come upon all of God's people. That we would walk the way he intended us to walk. That we would walk and take steps in the garden again. That we would listen to his voice. That when we hear his voice, we wouldn't hide in shame or condemnation. If you feel shame or condemnation again, go back to that very first question. Who told you? What did God ask Adam and Eve? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you weren't good enough? Who told you that you couldn't be a temple of my presence? Who told you that you don't belong in my house? Who told you that? Because it's a lie. I never said that. In fact, I sent my son to break every lie and every chain and all the power of hell that's been held over you. Who told you that? Who told you? He loves you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of judgment. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. He's a guide. We praise God that he sent the Son. And we praise God that he called the Son back home to him so that the Holy Spirit could come, because it's to our advantage, because he's a guide and he tells us when to go left and he tells us when to go right. Praise God that he sent the Son, and praise God that the Son left so that the Holy Spirit could come. He's a guide. Ooh. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He's listening. He's listening to heaven. The Father is seated in heaven above. And who is seated at his right hand? The Son. Who is here with us? The Holy Spirit. And he is listening in heaven. And he is guiding us in the path that the Father and Son are leading us on. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. and he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Would you stand up as we pray? Jesus, I just pray right now. We just bless your name. We just see you high and lifted up. You're seated on the throne next to your Father. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your Son, that you sent him, that he did the work for us on the cross that we could not do, that he took the pain and the punishment that we deserve, that by his stripes we are healed, we're set free. And Father God, we just praise you that you called the Son back and sent your Holy Spirit. And we just ask right now that we would just receive, that we would listen to your voice, that we would sit in the stillness of your presence, that we would just breathe you in, that we would know that we are temples of your presence. And Jesus, I just pray for anyone feeling that conviction in here right now, that they would just turn to you in this moment, that they would turn to you as healer, as savior, as deliverer, that they would walk in freedom from that next stronghold, whatever it is that's been holding them down, that they would confess and repent. Holy Spirit, I just feel you coming in, that you want to set free and deliver, and that you want to bring healing in this house. Jesus, if there's anyone that needs healing, whether it's in their soul or whether it's physical, that they would just move and walk in obedience in this moment. Holy Spirit, come. I just feel you washing over us like waves, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, we just come in repentance to you. That's the very first step. We make the very first step to repent. We want to draw near to you, and we know that when we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. Father, forgive us. Wash us clean, white as snow in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just begin to declare that over your life. Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I'm turning back to you. Jesus, I'm laying down my idols. Whatever that idol is, it might be your health. I'm hearing that. Some of you in here, you've made your health an idol. He wants you to take care of your temple, but don't put it ahead of what he wants to do in your soul, that he wants to renew and cleanse you from the inside out. He wants to clean the inside of the cup first. Let him do that. Let the Holy Spirit come and burn away everything that doesn't belong. Set the field of thistles and thorns within our soul on fire. Burn it away. You're a consuming fire. Complaints are leaving right now. Bitterness is leaving right now. Jealousy and envy is leaving right now. Holy Spirit is burning it away and calling it to attention. And we're repenting and we're saying, Lord, I'm done. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm following you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. Jesus, in your name, we pray and we declare it today. Holy Spirit, come. And God...